This is Bill Blatchford.
I'm actually speaking to you from Friday Harbor, Washington this morning. I'm sitting up here on the deck of my boat, connected by a little technology. We're connected on a GoToWebinar, the same as all of you are, speaking through my cell phone. So this morning, I have Josh Rich, who is the Business Development Executive from Smile Reminder. And as all of you know, all of our clients know that Smile Reminder is a wonderful company that we've been using for several years. We use them for our own business. You'll be getting all your notifications from us, from Smile Reminder. And we have found them to be a great adjunct to everyone's practice. We have found it a great way to stay in touch with patients. And, of course, everybody in our program is looking for ways to improve their customer service. And so that's what we have. This morning, Josh is going to answer some questions for us on patient engagement. Josh, I'm going to ask you first, could you define patient engagement for us? I mean, I think I know what you're talking about, but why don't you go for it?
Yeah, absolutely. And first, let me just say it's great to be with you today. We can't go very far in the dental world without running into someone that's been impacted in a positive way by your efforts. So it's a privilege for us to be a part of this today. To answer your question about patient engagement, generally this is referring to making your practice more accessible to the patient and the patient to your practice. So for example, practices and patients communicating regarding appointments, procedures, payment, and generally just overall health. And while communication like this has been around for a long time throughout the history of dentistry, patient engagement today has come to mean something very different. The communication in which people prefer through their different mediums, patients now demand different things. They want it online, they want it on mobile devices, and they generally want information as quickly as possible. When we talk patient engagement software, generally what's happening is the software is...
Well, Josh, I think we should slow down just a little bit. I think that just through the period of time that I've been in dentistry, we've certainly seen a change in the lives of our patients. There was a time when we could have a home phone number, and if we wanted to reach a patient, we would call that home phone number. Well, today, that's certainly changed. There are a number of people that don't even have a landline anymore. And, of course, there's no one at home anymore to take that call. So we have to have many ways to get a hold of these patients. And one of the things that I have found is so many practices don't even collect cell phone numbers for patients. They don't collect emails. They don't collect any way to get a hold of their patients except their home or their work phone. And so today people's lives have changed so drastically, and I see that many offices are still trying to use the old method of reaching these patients, for example, for recall. We've been opening on hygiene this afternoon, and we're trying to reach a patient via their home or their work phone. And two or three calls are made. Usually we get an answering machine, voicemail, and we leave about three messages. The receptionist gets busy, and that spot goes empty. So things have changed dramatically for patients.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And preferences will continue to change over time. And so it's critically important to listen to what the patients really want. Now, Bill, you mentioned in your book that selling dentistry is a lot easier when you focus on listening to what patients want. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Well, it's a simple thing. For years, dentists have looked in people's mouths, done an exam, and based on our value system, have tried to convince the patient to do some treatment that we think is necessary. Well, I found out a long time ago that none of dental treatment is necessary. As a matter of fact, people don't even need their teeth, and they're somewhere between no teeth and an absolute drop-dead gorgeous smile.
Right.
Those things are all possible. We've got to find out what's important to a patient and only present and sell to what is important to that patient. The only way I know how to do that is to listen to the patient, ask questions, and assume we know nothing into that conversation. I think it's the same thing you're talking about here. We've got to find out how the patients would like to be communicated with. What is the best way to reach you? If we wanted to reach you during the day, what's the best way we can reach you and make that decision? I still hear dental office personnel saying, oh, our patients don't like to be texted. Well, that's one in 100. find out what they want and give it to them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And like you can see on the screen there, we leverage all engagement channels for a doctor's patients. And because everyone is different and everyone is in a different state of progression in terms of how they want to be communicated with, patient engagement in general tries to bridge that gap between what patients want and what doctors are, the way that doctors are communicating today. So that was a great first question.
Yeah, all right. So now, let me ask you this question, and we've partially already answered it, but why is it so critical to engage these patients? Why? What's so critical about that that we can help them with?
Well, you're right. We have touched on it a little bit, and we're asked this question all the time. Obviously, anytime we as a patient engagement software company do a demo or talk to someone at a trade show, that's kind of the underlying question the dentist has when they're thinking about a patient engagement software like ours. And really what we tell them is it boils down to the reason why they should pay attention to it is because it boils down to increased profits, an increased number of patients, and ultimately help advance your purpose as a dentist.
It's going to increase the profits. Every one of my clients, any of my clients on this, listening to this, first off, they understand their overhead per hour. And when they understand their overhead per hour, that is the cost per hour to operate their practice, and that they then see what the cost of, let's just, an example is hygiene again. And if hygiene has one no-show per day, the hygiene department runs in the red that day. I mean, that's how tight that margin is. And so, just that one item alone. But the other part of it is that, you know, people have so many things on their mind today, so many things, they're bombarded with so much media, they're bombarded with, I don't know, it's in hundreds of media messages per day advertising various products, and they only hear from us once or twice a year. And so we've got to stay in the forefront of their mind more than we do. I know several of our clients are using your company, Smile Reminder, for birthday messages to the patients, and these are really neat. I mean, they're video messages that a patient receives on their smartphone or their iPad or their computer, and you've got to come up with different ways to stay engaged. But bottom line is, it's profit. The more engagements you can have with these patients, the more they're thinking about you, and the more they're referring to you. Just everything is enhanced.
Agreed. And so one specific example that I thought would be beneficial is a broken appointment, like you say, a no-show. In some cases, you do have a little bit of time to try to fill that appointment. The patient calls in and says, hey, I won't be there. This is one example of how a patient engagement software like Smile Reminder can really help. So I put up on the screen an email and a text message that can go out based on an ASAP list that perhaps is in the practice management system. And these messages will go out to the patients on this list to help fill that appointment. And it's amazing how quickly the patients will reply to that message to come in and fill the appointment. What we try to accomplish here is, rather than the practice calling down the list, trying to find someone home, like you already talked about, lucky to get them on their landline phone, and then if they do try to fill the appointment, what we're creating is an environment where patients are calling you as the dentist to try to fill that appointment as a result of the messages that go out.
Yeah, just for clarity, the way this system works, if I understand it correctly, is when you get that phone call from Bill Blatchford saying, I'm not going to be able to make my appointment this afternoon at 2 o'clock in hygiene, you have this, you call it an ASAP list, I call it a quick call list, whatever we call it. So we have this list of 20 or 30 people that we have created. Now, it's going to take a little bit of work to create that list, but there are people in your practice that would love to be on that list just because, you know, these are the people that have a flexible schedule, they want to get in, and they want to get in sooner.
Right.
So that list then, with basically a click of a mouse, 20, 30, 40 people get a text message all at the same time with that message you're showing on the screen.
That's right. And it gives them the opportunity to simply push a little button on the email or reply to the text message, which then alerts the staff to give them a call and fill the appointment. So it's easy for the patient, and it's obviously convenient and much more efficient for the practice.
Yeah, we just eliminated a whole bunch of phone calls, which are very frustrating. What I find is usually totally ineffective because we can't reach people, and you only get to call two or three. Where this way, 20, 30, 40 people get that message simultaneously, and it's easy to respond to. So I think that's one of the key things right there. What else in the area of technology are you using? Give us some other examples of how you can enhance this patient engagement with Smile Reminder.
Yeah, of course. So I'll change the slide here to show some different newsletter campaigns that can go out. And when we were talking about a broken appointment and those that that you have a list of patients who want to come in right away, we call that grouping. So we're only going to be sending that broken appointment message out to obviously those who are interested in coming in right away. Well, the same concept applies for a variety of different topics. So for example, if you have communication you want to send out to your patients that is relevant to only a certain group, say in a certain age range or has had a certain procedure in the past, well, Smile Reminder will give you the ability to filter through your patient base to find the patients for which those things are relevant. So in a certain age range or, like I said, having a certain procedure done in the past. And then create a newsletter that would be emailed out with information that would be extremely relevant to that group. And so it's very helpful to be able to send the right communication to the right patient at the right time. Otherwise, the patient feels like it's just any other email or any other bit of advertising or information. When it's unique and specific to the patient's interests and conditions, then it becomes extremely meaningful, and you begin building the relationship with the patient as a result.
So let's be very specific here. Let's say that I'm a patient, and I have some missing teeth, and you have talked to me about implants, but I'm a patient, like many patients, and I'm going to say, well, doctor, I would like to think about that. And that's very often, I mean, that people think about that. I'm not sure what it is they're thinking about, but they are thinking about it. That's a way to put you off and to not make a decision
right
now. So you could stay, you could put this patient into a implant prospect list, and you
correct
could contact that patient on a regular basis or kind of a tickle file to send some information out. It could be an email that says, thought you might be interested, and it could be a synopsis of a short article on implants, the benefits of implants. It could be a testimonial from a patient who's had some implants placed and has this great smile now because of it. It could be all kinds of little things to keep tickling that patient, because I can assure you the patients get tickled with all kinds of advertising media. Just for example, I was reading the USA Today this morning how quickly the public has converted to HDTV. The conversion
right
to HDTV was almost, I mean, about a two-year period, and the number of homes that have HDTV was compared to when we switched from black and white TV to color TV, and that's what the article is about, how slow we were as a country to switch over to color TV, and but yet this HDTV switch just took place almost instantaneously, and that's due to absolute 24/7 media bombardment. And so here we are, they're hearing all kinds of things for HDTV, for example, new cars, travel, etc., and they hear from us in the traditional office, they hear from us once a year, and typically, or twice a year, and that patient doesn't even hear again about that potential for those implants until they come in the next time, 6 months later. And in the meantime, they've had some discretionary income, but they've already spent it on something else. So this is a great way to keep our services on top of the mind.
You're exactly right. And this is what we find as a result of these kinds of trickle campaigns, especially when it's as specific to the patient's interests and concerns. is we find that as they receive information specific to those things over the course of 6 months or a year, when they come into your practice and you recommend the treatment, they're far more likely to accept the treatment as a result because they've been educated for 6 to 12 months ahead of time. And so what we really find is case acceptance goes way, way up when patients have been given education and information on things that mean a lot to them. And then once they make it into the practice, they understand why you're recommending that specific treatment.
You know, just for example, last month on a call, I recorded an interview with one of our clients, Dr. David Pierce from Baldwinsville, New York, suburb of Syracuse. And David is doing from 2 to 4 sleep apnea treatments per day. You can do the math on that one, doctors. And he is doing quite a bit of radio advertising to bring those patients in. Because the first year of doing sleep apnea treatment, he went through his current patient base, but now he is bringing new patients in, and his most effective ads that he does include a testimonial of a patient. As a matter of fact, he has both a male and a female patient, separate ads, extolling the virtues of how his sleep apnea treatment helped them and helped their lives, and actually the female brings in more patients than the male. However, here's the thing. That same ad could go out on a smile reminder
newsletter campaign.
A newsletter campaign could do that. And so you see there's a patient who's thinking about sleep apnea or a patient who's heard of somebody with sleep apnea, and you send that out as a smile reminder. Could be very valuable to the practice.
Absolutely. It surprises me, though, how often dentists just stay too comfortable with the way they've always done things. And sometimes it's a leap of faith to trust that these types of communications make a big difference. But we do find a lot of dentists just kind of like to stay with what they've been doing for the last 15, 20 years. And I know you've talked about not liking working with dentists that feel too comfortable. And we see that in the industry as well. So we hope that you take the leap of faith to experiment with some of these different newsletter campaigns and other things and really watch how it can lift your practice in terms of patient engagement and case acceptance and being overall more connected to your patient base.
Well, you know, this is the reason I say that about doctors who are comfortable is they don't change things. You know, there are a lot of things in our country that are changing very rapidly. A very simple one is the newspaper industry. You take a look at that, and they had basically a corner on the news industry, dispensing news to the public. Well, now, by the time you get a morning newspaper, you've seen most of that news online the day before. And really, there's not much to look at. You take a look at these newspapers, they get thinner and thinner, and they're going out of business. And so there are a lot of things that are changing, become obsolete. And one of the things that I see is the way that so many dentists do dentistry, and somebody was talking to me about this just the other day, somebody in the banking industry, and I was saying, you know, even a mediocre practice out there, just, you know, comfortable doing things the way they've always done it, can make a very nice living, and they can make a very nice living, and yet they're slowly in decline. And we see a lot of that. And In talking to brokers, I find that many practices out there, by the time the doctor is in his early 60s or late 60s, the practice has really declined, and they have a hard time selling that practice because the buyer looks at it, the bank looks at it, and says, there's something wrong here because this practice is not growing. It's actually in decline, so they have a hard time selling that practice to a new doctor. And yet, they were comfortable. They were comfortable doing what they do, and maybe they didn't need as much income at that point in their career, and so they just did not address new technology. But I find that it's technology is absolutely wonderful. And of course, I look at this, and people say they're too old for technology. I say, wait a minute, I'm 70 years old. I live on the internet all day long. I'm using my smartphone, iPad to communicate with my clients, my friends, family. It's just the way we do business today. And so I think that technologies like this really need to be addressed. And if the doctor is not comfortable with technology like this, well, that's why we hire younger staff members. And if you don't have staff members to do it, I'd say, for heaven's sake, get an 11-year-old to help you with this.
Right, right. Well, and there's a lot of technology going on behind the scenes that the patients are involved with that affect a dentist practice. And let me give you just one example. So I was with a doctor not too long ago, and he was trying very hard to convince me that none of his patients would ever say anything bad about him online, that they just don't do that kind of thing. And finally, I convinced him to let me bring up some review sites like Google and Yelp and showed him some reviews about his practice from some of his patients. And he unfortunately was mortified to see that a couple of those reviews weren't good ones. They were pretty negative reviews. It was kind of fun for me to watch him squirm just a little bit, only because I knew the tools and solutions that could help him with the problem.
Well, that's right. And we have, going right back to the brokerage again today, I've got a client who is trying to sell a practice right now. And he has some negative reviews on WebMD. And so you see, without taking, again, one, you know, head in the sand kind of a thing, patients won't do that. Well, yeah, they will. And it's more likely without some on a proactive approach that the negative ones will complain, and the ones who are happy with you are very quiet. You get the one that's absolutely ecstatic with something you did for them, and they may do something, but the majority of your patients are satisfied, and they don't do anything. They don't complain. They don't say anything positive. They're just out there. Well, you've got to have a real good campaign today, because people are more outspoken, and if they're upset, they will post on these various review sites. And by the way, prospective patients are taking advantage of those sites and looking at them. So you have a proactive approach.
It's absolutely true. In fact, let me throw some statistics your way that I think are really interesting on that topic. So a recent study of more than 28,000 consumers, I believe this study was conducted by Nielsen just last year in 2012, it suggests that 70% of all consumers trust online reviews. This is second only to personal recommendations, keep in mind. And then there was another study. This was a consumer review survey independently reported that 72% of consumers trust online reviews as much as they trust personal recommendations. So what people are saying about you online does make a difference. And there's a lot of business out there that you're not seeing as a dentist who's not staying up on these review sites that never make it to your practice, but it's not because they don't know about you. It's because online reviews have swayed them another way. So our goal, again, is as a patient engagement company, Smile Reminder is going to give tools to help, number one, know what's being said about the practice online, and then number two, be able to put the practice's best foot forward by encouraging positive reviews, by being able to address negative ones, and really take control of your online reputation.
So Josh, how do you just set up a proactive approach for a practice to create positive reviews? Give us a few more clues. What do you do there?
You bet. So one of the ways, and I'll go back a slide here, one of the ways is through what we call a post-appointment survey. And the settings for how often this post-appointment survey is sent via email to a patient is completely up to the practice. But the idea is to give them a chance to voice how their experience was. And you mentioned, Bill, that most of the time the patients are very satisfied with their experience at the practice. But they're not being asked to share their positive experience, and so it just goes unsaid. Well, these post-appointment surveys give the patients the opportunity to share the patient experience. And those reviews can be pushed out to a landing page that we create for the practice. And then those reviews are accessible via Google Reviews as a link from around the reviews from around the web link, and that can help give people who are looking for a new dentist the opportunity to read those reviews. But we also have newsletters designed specifically to ask patients to leave a review on Google or on Yelp or on Judy's Book or whatever the case may be. And simply asking patients to leave a review in those cases via a newsletter goes a long, long way. We see a lot more of a response rate for leaving reviews than traditional emails that the patient may or may not know where it's coming from. And so simply asking by newsletters. Go ahead, Bill.
I've had some patients, some clients that have actually set up a contest, give away an iPad, et cetera, an opportunity to win an iPad in a drawing if they will post a review, because those reviews have to be posted from the patient's own computer. If you post them from the office computer, Google and all the others throw those right out. So they have to be posted from the patient's computer. And one of the things that I've learned about this, and again, being somewhat of a neophyte on this technology, the more reviews you have, it enhances the search from the various search engines on Google, the various search engines that people use, Mozilla, etc. The more videos, the more just the more links that you have to your site, you move up in the rankings. And one of the things I've said about or observed is for websites, if you're not on the first page in your town, you really don't exist on the web, because people simply don't scroll through 3, 4, 5, 6, or 10 pages looking for a dentist. They don't open that many websites. They go to that first page when they type in dentist, cosmetic dentist, implant dentist, sleep apnea dentist, whatever they're typing in, those certain words, and they don't scroll through 10 pages. So anything that you can do to enhance that search engine optimization is certainly worthwhile.
It's true. And one thing that I think comforts some dentists about negative reviews is Google will actually give a little more credit to a business, a practice in this case, that has some glowing reviews and then every once in a while a couple of negative reviews, because they see that as more organic. And as a result, will be bumped up on the search results a little bit higher. And
if I'm not getting negative reviews, small reminders would post some for me just so it looks more real?
We can work that out, you bet.
I see, okay. All right. So what other benefits do you see here? I mean, we've talked about search engine optimization, we've talked about reviews, and the more positive reviews you have, of course, that pushes the negative reviews down, where they're not as visible without scrolling through them. Contacting patients for missed appointments. We've talked about birthday notices. We've talked about newsletter campaigns. Are there any other things that we can do with Smile Reminder to enhance patient engagement?
Yeah, you can. And as we go there, you talked about birthday messages. I want to see if I can play the birthday video for you, because I think it's worth watching. But in order to do that, let me step back just for a second and tell you a quick story. Actually, two different experiences. One of which was I saw a colleague at work the other day, and I hadn't seen him all day, so I just asked, how has the day been? And he said, "Oh, I just returned from the dentist." And I said, "Oh, which one?" And he said, "The one by the gun store." And I didn't know where the gun store was, so I didn't really talk much more about him on that. The second experience was one day my wife and I were
at a lunch. But bottom line is, doctors, this patient did not even know the dentist's name.
That's right. That's right.
It's by the gun store, but did not know your name, and that's a premise, and that's something I've told doctors for years. That I don't do this anymore because I don't go to offices anymore, but when I used to go to offices, I would have them pull 100 charts out of their own file cabinet, just at random, pull 100 charts. And you start calling and say that we are working for the American Dental Association, we're doing a quick marketing poll. Now, some people don't even want to talk to you, but those that talk to you, you will find out. We're going to ask you a few questions. One of the questions we ask is, do you currently have a dentist? And we found that office after office, at least 20% of the patients that we pulled right out of your file cabinet would say, no, I don't have a dentist. Oh, wait a minute, we just pulled that chart out of your file cabinet, and 20%
right.
don't say, they have, say no, I don't have a dentist. Now, here's another question that was very revealing, and we have several questions we ask in between these questions. Another question is, could you tell us the name of your current dentist? And you will be absolutely amazed that somewhere between 35-45% of the 80% that said, yes, we have a dentist, will not be able to state your name on a phone call like that. In other words, if you met them on the street, they wouldn't even know your name. If somebody asked them for a referral, they would not know your name. And that is absolutely amazing, and it's a shock for dentists to find out that, you know, we're not dinner table conversation with all these families that come into our practices. So in between their six-month calls, many cannot remember our name. So go ahead with your story.
And that is the reality. Let me contrast what you just said with the experience of my wife and I on our birthday. So we're at lunch, and we're having a nice meal together, and then all of a sudden she gets an email and a text message from the dentist wishing her a happy birthday, and she plays this video, and she says, she shows me the video, and she says, look at what my dentist just sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and I'll play that video for you in just a second, but I think the difference is in two different words. The first story, my colleague referred to the dentist as the dentist. In the second,
uh-huh.
my wife referred to the dentist as my dentist.
Right.
And this is at the heart of patient engagement. If we don't accomplish anything else as a company, this is what we want to help dentists do, and that is to help the engagement process be so powerful that patients begin to take ownership of their dentist, to claim them as their own, to know their name,
mm-hmm.
to know where they're at, to want to refer them out. Let me play the video here, and I hope that the video and audio work so you can see the impact it can have. But when an automated message like this goes out, it's amazing how it can build the relationship. So here, let's give it a try.
Well, I think while you're crying, that just is little...
Okay, so simple video. The doctor is so embarrassed he walks right off of the screen after it's all over. But this type of message goes a long, long way with patients. I mean, you're creating patients for life when you reach out to them at a time that maybe you normally wouldn't and brighten their day. So, sorry, Bill, what were you going to say?
You know, on my connection here is a little bit slow, so I think I've seen that before. That's one of our clients, Matt Smith, Pine Ridge Dental. And it's great. They're standing behind the counter, pop up, and they're saying happy birthday to the patient. And,
terrific,
it's really great. But just a text message, happy birthday, and of course patients, you know, people think that you type that in by hand.
They do.
A friend of mine was overseas, actually in Europe, and he got a message like that from his dentist on his birthday, and he said, wow, I can't believe they did that. Well, I didn't say anything. This person was not a dentist, and but I didn't say anything that was done. It was an automated message, but he didn't know that. He thought, wow, my dentist took the time to text me a message on my birthday. Pretty neat. So let me ask you one more final question here, and the final question I want to ask, there are several companies out there that do patient engagement. What's different about Smile Reminder, and why would a doctor choose you over some of the other companies that provide this? I mean, I can tell you why we've chosen you, but from your mouth, why would they choose you, Josh?
Yeah, I think I'd focus on three specific areas, and one of which is the fact that we can reach 100% of the patient base. I know that a lot of the competition in our industry is happy when the practice using their software can reach 30-35%. Well, that's not good enough for us at Smile Reminder, and generally we see 95%+ of the patient base is being engaged with through our Smile Reminder platform from your practice. And so a couple ways we do that is, number one, we are called what is called an opt-out system, meaning we will pull the patient's names and appointment times and some of that other information from the practice management system and send messages that the practice has specified they want going out to their patients, and begin the relationship from a patient engagement standpoint with the reminder messages, with the recall mm-hmm. messages, with the birthday messages. And if that's the first message they see from the practice, rather than maybe a verbal or an email that says, we'd like to send you emails and texts, if that's the first message they receive, then they stay opted in. Generally, we see in terms of cell phones, only about 2% decide to opt out. And email is not far behind. So when you're investing in a patient engagement software service, it's important to consider the price per patient that you're paying. And we cover by far the broadest reach of the patient base than any of our competitors. Another way we do that is we're not just sending out text messages and email. Sometimes patients don't have those devices or they prefer not to be communicated with on those devices. So we can also send out automated voice calls to a landline telephone. And we know that is changing, and over time the number of people that prefer that will get smaller, but there still is a group of patients who prefer that method of communication. And so we allow your practice to benefit from the automation that we bring to the table, even with calls to landline telephones. So that would be number two. Yeah.
That's number two or three?
That would be the first thing, yeah.
Okay. And there are three things you said you wanted to cover.
Yeah, so I would say the second one is what we call our unlimited live support. And that is that for every practice that is a customer of Smile Reminder, we give you a dedicated support rep, someone who you know their name, you know their email address, you know their direct line, and someone there to help you, whether it's creating newsletters, designing newsletters, or creating the filters so your newsletters go out to only specific patients, or creating settings of different appointment reminders. Whatever the question is or whatever the need is, you have someone in your back pocket from Smile Reminder to help coach you through the process of using the system.
And Josh, is that person located here in the United States, or is that somebody in Bangalore?
They are all here in the United States. In fact, they're all sitting in the same building I am right now.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a great question because that's not the case with our competitors all the time. And then lastly, I would say we have a price for life guarantee. And what that means is you will be able to budget to the penny 10 years from now what you're going to be paying for Smile Reminder as a customer. So as you stay a customer of Smile Reminder, regardless of how many great features we bring to the table to enhance the product, you're going to be paying the same monthly fee the whole time. And we have some customers that have been with us for 7-8+ years, and they're paying pennies on the dollar now, and it's great. We've locked them into that price for life. And so I would say things really set us apart.
I have clients that have been with you for that period of time right from the start, and they're paying your original fee, whereas new clients come on, they pay a higher fee.
Right.
I really appreciate that. Now, one thing I would just like to throw in here for the doctors and for team members who are listening, because every time this comes up is, well, yeah, but some of our patients don't like to be taxed. They don't like to charge on their phone bill. And so I came up with a real simple solution for that, and that is very simply, Mrs. Smith. We'll be happy to put $10 credit on your account here at the office. And that should cover more than any text we will send you for the next couple of years. But we'll be happy to spend $10 a year on your account. All of a sudden, it's nothing. Because there are some people that actually go through and analyze their phone bills and look at that, and anybody sends them a text, they feel, and they are paying for it. So that's an easy way to solve that. Well, Josh, I want to thank you for this time. I learned some things today. I always do talking with you. How patient engagement is so important, and what I learned from you is how easy it is and getting easier all the time. So thank you so much. If any of you want to listen, Josh, how would they contact you?
Yeah, so I just put up a slide with a telephone number that they can call, 866-605-6867. And if you just mention the name Blatchford, they'll give you a $25 Amex gift card just for asking some more questions and taking a demo. You don't have to commit to anything at all.
Repeat that number again, because there are people on this call that are strictly on by telephone.
Of course. That number is 866-605-6867. And be sure to mention Blatchford.
All right. So thank you very much, Josh, for your time today. I want to thank the doctors and team members who are on the call. Hope you learned a lot about this, and hope you got some tips today that can enhance your practice patient engagement.
Appreciate that, and thank you for having us participate. It's been a privilege.
All right. Thank you very much, and everybody have a nice day.